What's going on, everybody? I'm Johnny Brooke. Welcome back to episode number 24 of the Crafted Podcast. Podcast all about making stuff by hand, woodworking, electronics, leatherworking, and more. We put out new episodes every Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and pretty much everywhere podcasts are available. If you want to learn more, check out our website at craftedpodcast.com. Also, we live stream the show every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, so we'd love to have you join us live. You can check out our website. We have a live section there, or you can download our app, which is available on iOS and Android for free. Just search for Crafted Podcast. So let me introduce my co-hosts. As always, I've got James Wright from Wood by Wright. What is going on, James?
Oh, not too much at all right now. Thank you for asking.
And I got Zach Herberholz from ZH Fabrications. What is up, Zach?
How's it going?
Pretty good. And we got a special guest tonight. We got Brad Rodriguez from Fix This, Build That. How's it going, Brad?
What's up, guys?
Good to have you on, man. Yeah, this is exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like a reload from the Atlanta Woodworking Show. So.
Seriously, yeah.
Didn't we just do this?
Yeah.
We should have done one with, like, anybody. There's like 40 people on the sort of a mayhem.
Yeah, it was a crazy weekend. So that's going to be our show topic for the night. We're going to just kind of, you know, rehash what happened this weekend. It's a ton of fun. Had a really, really good weekend. Zach and James got to come up to my shop on Sunday and Monday, and we built a collaboration piece. So we'll get into that later. But I guess first, let's start off with what we've been working on. I guess, Brad, since you're our guest, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I just launched today, which would be Thursday when we're recording, the clamp rack. I did a clamp rack for Jet and Powermatic. So it was actually the Jet and Powermatic training facility is just about 30 minutes east of my house over in Laverne, Tennessee. I'm in Nashville. And I just had a chance to go out there and tour their facility, and it was awesome. And one of the things I noticed was like, hey guys, you've got your clamps up there on this like metal filing cabinet. Why don't we take care of that? And so I worked with them to do something. It's a clamp rack that I've already made, but I kind of made it bigger. So it's this massive thing. It holds like 36 parallel clamps, which I would love to find the weight out of, because I don't know what it is, but it is something very, very heavy. So anyway, I made that, went out there, installed it, and just launched the video on that and the blog post today. So I'm kind of coming off that and getting ready for I'm actually doing some work with Home Depot, which is actually a really cool thing. They have a foundations that they work with veterans. So it's going to be doing some work with some local veterans to kind of work with some other local housing projects and kind of upkeep and make some stuff for them. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I'm just getting into those right things right now.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that clamp rack, I watched the video earlier. It was sweet. I definitely need my rack for my clamps. I found at the dump, of all places. I was dropping off some trash, and it was, I guess, just like a regular old like wall-hanging shelf. And so I just kind of cut some grooves in it to hold the clamps, but they all have to be side by side instead of like how you have it. They're all kind of in, you know, one row. And so your system is definitely way more efficient, I think, space-wise, and just getting them on and off. You don't have to like try to get them in some tiny little groove. And I definitely, that's on my to-do list for sure now, because I bet I could build that out of like mostly scraps. I mean, it was pretty simple.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the whole thing is made out of just a half sheet of plywood. So that's kind of one of the shtick of it is whenever I do projects, I try to make it so that it's very minimalistic as far as material, and I fit it all into a half sheet. But yeah, it saves a ton. So I did like a stack up of the 36 parallel clamps. I measured them, I believe it was 66 inches. And the parallel rack is 43 inches. So like if you had them side by side up on the wall, it would have been 66 inches. And that's like touching. So, and you know, nobody ever gets them that tight. So it definitely saves. And you could even make it more efficient if you made it deeper. But I just made it like 12 inches deep to hold six clamps out from the wall.
Yeah, that was a cool one. I definitely I want to get that going. By the way, speaking of parallel clamps, do you guys have any tips? I'm constantly plagued by dried glue on the rails of my clamps. I guess I probably should be using pipe clamps for a lot of this stuff, but I just have parallel bar clamps. What do you guys use?
I use packing tape. So I put down packing tape, just clear packing tape. The key there is like, so I have some that are for certain clamping capacities, I guess, because if you don't have it a certain way and then you put that clamp head over it, it can get stuck in there. And then I had it one time just get like completely gummed up and it took me forever to get it apart. But so now I kind of know, all right, if I'm going to be clamping something 20 inches wide, I'm going to use this one because, you know, and I just basically never close them. So yeah, I use the packing tape. And then when it gets nasty, then I just rip it off and put new packing tape on there. Or blue tape works too if you wanted to remove it every time. But I put the packing tape and I just like leave it on there basically.
Interesting.
I actually use paste wax and I just peel it off.
Yeah. Yep, I've heard of that too.
Yeah, sand. You can pop it off with your
lots of sand.
Sand. Well, so like the grooves
I'm
on the
kidding.
Bessie.
Don't use sand, anybody. Don't do it.
I haven't used the Jet ones in a while, and the Bessie has all these teeny little grooves, and they get gummed up super, super easy with glue, and so it's just... it's a nightmare. And, you know, of course, it's always halfway into a glue up and you get one clamp that gets stuck and it's like the critical clamp, you know? So, especially after doing like a lot of ingrain cutting boards and stuff like that recently, like the amount of glue squeeze out I have is just ridiculous. So I cannot close them all the way even. So, I've read that like vinegar will work to help clean it off. Like I'm talking about like cleaning it off when the damage is done. You know what I mean? Like the damage is done.
I have a chisel for that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I do. I use like a putty knife, and I just go to town.
Yeah. Interesting. Cool. Well, yeah, that was a cool clamp rack. I'm excited to see the Home Depot stuff. That'll be. I'd love to work with them some more. That would be. That sounds like a cool thing. Teaching in person would be kind of fun. So that's cool. What about you guys, James? What you been working on?
Let's see. I've been working on a bunch of hand routers. That was a video that just came out today. It's one that I've had a lot of people asking me to do for a while, and I've made a bunch in the past, but I've never actually done a solid video on it.
Yeah, that looks
sweet. So I
figured
it was time to actually do that. Other than that, the coffee table with the three of you guys.
Yeah.
And that was a blast.
Yes, it was.
But I think the other thing is the dresser. I'm actually working on the last large piece. I just did the glue up on the dresser on the top.
Nice.
You hear my wife cheering in the background. She's looking forward to seeing it done.
Yes. Tell her she has the patience of a saint. That is that's awesome. That's cool. Yeah, I'm super excited to see that done. Well, Zach, I see you're chewing, so I'll go, I guess. both Brad and sounds Zach good. Are chewing, so
who
I'll go ahead
Zach
and go.
Not chewing?
Yeah. so yeah, we worked on the collaboration build this weekend. I guess Monday really was the day we kind of knocked that out, and that was super fun just having three dudes in the shop and you know, seeing their work firsthand. But I think we'll get into that a little later. But if you guys listen to this in the podcast feed, part two of the maple and steel coffee tables will have just come out. So really happy with how that build has come so far. People seem to really be enjoying it. I'm really happy with the final piece, basically, you know, dead on what the kind of inspiration was, and that was really turned out nice, especially considering I hadn't welded in a while. It was nice to kind of do that again and know that I still know how to do it. And then the other thing I've been working on this week, I finally started on my Roubaud. So this has been a long time coming, and after James, you know, was struggling with my bench this week, I was like, you know, it's time. It is time to get this done. So, you know, it went pretty quick. I'm on my second day of working on it, I guess. And I've got the top totally glued up. I've got the wagon vise pretty much installed. I just have a couple little things to do on that. And so the top will be done tomorrow. It's going to be a little while till the video is out because I'm going to kind of do it in phases. I'll work on the base a little later, but that has been a beastly build. It is just wrangling those huge chunks around has been really tough. I luckily did not glue up the whole thing in one go. I kind of glued it up in sections, and the way this Lake Erie wagon vise works, you need to kind of keep a couple strips separated where you have like the sliding, you know, bench dog kind of set up and all that kind of stuff. So that helps, but man, it was still, I mean, I had one section that was like 9, you know, 2 by, I guess, let's see, they were like 4.5 inch thick, you know, glued together, 72 inches long, and man, that is heavy. So trying to get those through the planer and all that stuff, it was intense, but it just finished gluing it up after flattening everything, and it's pretty dang flat. I mean, the domino definitely helped keep everything aligned. I think, you know, having a biscuit joiner or something like that, but yeah, It was
you dominated all of them?
Well, no. I did the sections
just
because
the major join ups.
Yeah, because I started with 2x10s, so then I ripped those in half, so I had like 4 1/4, and so I just glued those up, you know, willy nilly. Didn't even worry too much about slipping because I knew I was going to be bringing it down to around 4 inches. So, yeah. You know, that didn't really matter. And so then I had these kind of 4-inch chunks that, you know, I had one that was about a foot wide and then a couple others that were like 9 inches wide and like 3 inches wide. And so once I flattened those all individually, you know, that way I could use the planer and the jointer and that kind of thing. And then once those were all nice and squared up and the wagon vise was installed, then I used the domino between those chunks to keep everything lined up. And that definitely helped a lot. So I think the flattening will be pretty minimal. So that'll be nice. I'm really excited to have it done. I wish I could just do it straight through, but I've got a couple other commission pieces. It's hard to squeeze in a workbench build like this, you know, because I'm not really making any money building a workbench, you know, like building furniture, you know, that pays the bills. So that's
but
why
your efficiency will go through the roof once you have it.
So yeah,
kind of.
Yeah,
it'll pay for itself in a few projects.
I mean,
and you don't. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with the Rubo, it. You know, I've got the Rubo and the Moxen Vice, so I can get around a lot of stuff. But yes, I am very excited to have a super beefy, heavy. Really, the thing I'm most excited about is the leg vise, because I just know that it's got crazy power. And, you know, can just hold these big pieces very effectively. And that's something that I cannot really do. Like the Moxen vise up until like, you know, like 13 inches wide, it'll do. But anything wider than that, it has trouble with. So, yeah.
Yes, I envy you, Johnny.
Come back.
Yeah.
If you ever want anybody doing hand tools, you have to have it. But yeah, I have. So my workbench right now is a sheet of melamine from an old sewing table my mom has, she gave to me, and it sits on top of sawhorses and 2x4s. So it's like completely break down that, and of course the workmate. So James, you know, you should come over to my shop, because when I do my hand planing, I put it in the workmate, and that thing has at least, I don't know, 4 maybe 5 pounds of mass to it. So it's great. It stays exactly where I want it to when I'm you know, block planing the edges of a board or something.
I think it helps.
Basically,
conserve
energy. Johnny. I was doing, well, I did the Johnny. I was watching the first part of the video on the coffee tables, and you were straddling the tabletop and planing the edge.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically what I do. I kind of like just ride the workmate and, you know, do the planing that way.
Yeah.
I built my first bench on top of a folding table.
Yeah.
There you go. That's about what I've got. I basically have a folding table, unattached.
Dude, you got a Rubo would be a big upgrade. It's interesting.
I know.
It's not that terribly expensive of a project, really. I mean, I'm using Southern Yellow Pine, so the wood for mine was less than $100. And, you know, you can get real fancy with the vise hardware, obviously, and spend tons of money, but you can also go really budget on it. And, I mean, I think Jay built his for, like, less than $200, so... It's amazing.
I built my full bench for $25.
But
yeah.
With
yeah,
vices?
I would never get the...
With
vices.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, because you made your own, right? I mean,
I found them on
found
Craigslist.
Them. Yeah. I remember
okay.
that now.
Spend a while looking
chop,
for it.
But the hardware.
Yeah.
Tail vise, end vise, leg vise.
It's going to be amazing. I mean, when I took that woodworking class at John C. Campbell, they had the really high-end Joburg benches, the elite ones, and they have a... It's not exactly a wagon vise. It's like a end vise, I guess, with a dog. And then they don't have a leg vise, but more like a double twin screw vise. And man, it was pretty awesome to work on. So I'm pretty pumped. And this vise hardware is really pretty slick. It's pretty cool. Those massive maple screws. So we had a whole episode on workbenches, though. So we don't need to.
Yeah, it's getting there. I need to post a... Oh, never mind. Well, hey, keep on getting people asking me for plans for that Nicholson bench that I built on YouTube.
Yeah.
And right there in the description, it says, free plans here.
That's funny. Well, what you been working on, man?
Well, tonight I'm working on a ribeye and some green beans, since that's a segment that people seem to enjoy.
What's Zach eating?
Yeah, what's Zach eating?
Yeah, when we're hanging out together, it is rather an amazing phenomenon that Zach has the ability to start eating at one meal and not finish until everyone else starts the next meal. So you can just continuously go throughout the day.
It's weird. I don't know where it came from, but yeah, I think I'm the world's slowest eater.
I wish I was like that. Like I think I'm like the fastest. It's like I look down and my food is gone, and I feel like you're savoring every morsel, you know. I feel like that's a good thing.
My dad was like a kind of a stoic guy, and growing up, he was like, you need to chew every bite 25 times, and I don't count, but I probably do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm guessing that's where it comes from. So
I think you took that to heart.
Yeah, but I think it's good for you to chew your food more.
Oh yeah.
So anyway. Workbenches and food chewing, yes. Masticating. That's this episode topic. No,
whoa,
yeah, yes, you heard that correctly.
Yes, getting fancy.
Yep. So, it's been crazy. The Atlanta show was really enlightening for me. It was really awesome. But and I'm sure we'll get into the fun parts later. But as far as this is, I'm gonna do my best to actually have a segue into something for the first time ever on the Crafted podcast. Actually have like a map to my point. So it was really enlightening. This was my first event that I ever really got to meet all of these people and kind of talk to them and get a feel for what everybody's doing and what's working for them. And it was a really good in a business sense, it was really good for me just because, like I said, there's so many people and everybody has a different way of running their show. You know, some people are heavier on the media. Some people are heavier on the product. Some people, you know, just so it was really, really great. I learned a lot. And like I said, everybody has a different way. But I did pick up on some key points in the consensus. And there's certainly some commonalities that when I talk to people, there's certain things that I'm not doing that a lot of people are doing. So this week, since I got back, I've been switching over my website to a better provider, and that's going to switch over. Hopefully by the time this podcast actually airs, I'll be switched over already. So I'll have a nice fresh website with better content. It's going to be just a lot more streamlined and hopefully more fun for people to go to. So that's a lot of work. And I hate sitting in front of the computer. My neck hurts. I feel like I have carpal tunnel. I will take weld berries in my ankles any day over sitting in front of a desk for 10 hours trying to program websites. Not fun. But I think it's really going to be worth it in the end.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been doing a lot of that. Today, I finally, that chair that's been in the prototype phase, finally took that to the upholsterers. He's got measurements, so we're going to get a price on that hopefully tomorrow. And I'm guessing this week I'm going to be starting on, hopefully the end of the week, I'll be started on the other three chairs.
Nice.
So that's neat. I have a desk that's pending. I'm getting emails from people all over the country that want little knickknacks and lamps and all sorts of stuff. So especially being out of town over the weekend, I really need to like sit down and write out how I plan on keeping up with all this stuff. Yeah. So it's not a bad problem. I never would have thought a year ago that I would be completely overwhelmed. So
yeah, cool. When are you putting the barn?
And I just finished this ribeye too.
Yeah.
What's that?
When are you putting up the barn door video? Do you know?
I don't know. I think I have everything I need. Yeah, I've been debating because I got some. Thanks. Yeah, so there's actually two barn doors. I really, in the video, I only filmed the process of one because it's kind of redundant. They're a little bit different, but I'm not going to film all that redundancy. But the doors were actually coupled about probably 3.5 hours northeast of me. And he sent me some pictures that he took on his cell phone of them for the final shot. That are actually pretty decent. So I don't know. I was debating on like driving up there and trying to film a good end scene for it, but I don't know if I want to take that much time out of my life to get, you know, some finished shots of it. So it might be, the video is going to be great, I think, but it might be lacking in like that final shot picture, which is kind of a big deal. So
That's the worst when you like do a video. Like, so I did the jet thing and then I got back and I was looking at my pictures and I was like, like some of them were just not what I wanted.
Yeah.
And then I found one that kind of worked and it was like, there was one I really liked the angle and everything, but it was like super grainy. So I just had not focused it. You know, I was in between the autofocus or whatever. And it's, yeah, same thing. And that's only a half hour, but I'm like I'm here tonight trying to finish this.
Yeah.
Delivering something is different. It's so nice to be able to do something in your shop and just like, I forgot to do that. Let me run out there and quick edit that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did the same thing when I delivered the maple and seal coffee tables to my parents' house on Friday and took a bunch of really nice pictures and got home and imported all the video footage from that, you know, like my intro outro, and forgot to import the photos and formatted the card and all that stuff.
But thankfully,
had transferred them, the photos, to my phone to like text them out to people to show them like before it went up. And so thankfully in my impatience to show them to my like friends and stuff, I had backups on my phone. So yeah, media management is one of those things like it, you know, I never really put that much thought into it before, but man, managing that kind of media workflow is so important because it's so easy to do that. And, you know, like you're always, at least I'm always formatting my cards like basically every day, just to, you know, keep them fresh and free of, you know, space basically. So that's a whole can of worms there. It's tough. I've done that way more times than I'd like to admit. So.
I'm hoping that, you know, because there's going to be enough good footage like up close and stuff from the video. So hopefully they'll get the idea. But I always try to have like these awesome shots for the finished.
Oh, yeah.
For like the thumbnail and all of that stuff. So
I call them the glamour shots. My wife always laughs because you know, the things people used to go to the mall and they'd get their glamour shots. And I don't know if that was like after y'all's time. That was in my high school.
Do your perm. Get your perm and get the white rain going
the
before
crazy
you go in.
Background, yeah. You know, you go to like Olin Mills or whatever and you get your little 4x6 or whatever fits in your wallet. And anyway, yeah, the glamour shot is very important. That thumbnail, man, the thumbnail is.
Yep.
Is a make or break. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I guess let's talk about the Atlanta show. So, I guess we start Friday night. Had a really good time. Had some people over to my parents' house for dinner. Thanks again. I know my mom is an avid listener of the podcast, so big thanks to her. You three and a few other guys were over. Had a great time. My dad.
That was a blast, man. Your family is truly awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty cool people.
That tenderloin was ridiculous.
Yes, my dad is a mean big green egg smoker, and he kills it with pretty much anything he puts on there. It's so that was awesome. Got to meet John Malecki in person.
I want to see if I can get like green egg sponsorship.
Yeah, good luck, man.
start every video
That's
off.
That's like a cult, dude. I don't know if you've ever looked into the big
green egg
thing.
You know,
they're crazy.
I haven't experienced it.
Oh,
but
man.
I understand why. Like I have seen, it seems like there is this kind of a
it is a cult like following,
a niche following with the
eggheads.
Green egg.
You know,
and I get
it.
Now.
Whole,
like
eggheads.
Oh yeah, they have like a whole convention once a year in Atlanta, the Motor Speedway, because they're based in Atlanta, and so you know everybody brings out their big green eggs on their trailers or whatever, and you know they all smoke their stuff all day, and it's a. It's ridiculous, but I mean that
it's
type
like
of
the
grill.
Illuminati.
Yeah, it's a you know that Kamado cooker. That's the style, and I guess this old like Asian style of cooker. But it's just so thick. It's like a really thick ceramic, and so it holds heat really, really well. And that's what you can just kind of get it up to temp, and it'll hold that temp. You know that's kind of tricky on a lot of smokers. So anyway, this is not a barbecue show, but the big green egg, amazing. So thanks again to my parents. Had a really great time. Sean Stone came over. John Malecki, got to meet him. Super fun dude.
Great
crew. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then I guess Saturday.
John's a cool guy. He does to any of the listeners out there who like the stuff that I do, I suggest that you check out his
definitely
his stuff because it's kind of similar in nature as far as metal and wood and stuff.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, he's got a really cool.
But that guy drinks a lot of beer, so you're going to invite him over.
He does
a lot of light beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Friday was awesome, and then Saturday, I guess, was the main day. So Saturday was a marathon session. I mean, you guys want to talk about Saturday? I guess we showed up at like 10 and didn't leave till like 1 a.m., so it was...
Yeah, imagine a room
we leave that early?
Several thousand woodworkers all in one place, around 80 different YouTube channels, and everyone just spending time and sharing stories and...
Yeah.
Drinking moonshine and losing my keys.
And just getting inundated with stickers.
Yeah, not at the show, right?
Yeah.
No, this is after the show.
After the show.
This was at the hotel.
They're like, man, this woodworking show sounds amazing. And then moonshine. And
Yeah.
That was the
so
after
if anybody
show.
Anybody listening happened to find a pair of keys that has like a forged copper hook thing on it?
Yeah, go steal Zach's Harley. If you find those keys, you can go boost his Harley.
Yeah, what I thought it was interesting about the show is so I've been to and Johnny, we went to the Woodworking America up in Cincinnati, so
and
James, you were there as well, but so that was the first show I had been to, and then this one was so different because it was I mean, obviously much more power tool oriented,
DIY.
It was like a Peachtree yard sale, right? So I was not quite expecting that. I mean, there was like more tchotchkes and stuff for sale, man. You know, there that was like in like little, you know, like dust collection fittings. And it's like, you know, I was expecting like a Woodworking in America, everybody's showing off like their latest and greatest and their nice tools. And it's like, all this just yard sale stuff from Peachtree.
Sandpaper bundles.
Like,
it was
exactly.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you guys went and looked at, I don't know who the company was or whoever, but the wood guys over on the left hand side, the guy that was selling the wood. Did you guys look at those prices?
Oh, yes. Insane.
Ridiculous. Insane. There was like a 1x1x6 inch piece of walnut, and it was like $4.50. Yeah. I was like, excuse me, what?
But he had a wooden business card, I noticed, which was made him very fancy. That's why his prices were
high. He had wooden ties on. Did you see that?
No.
He had like a necktie, and it was made out of like a wood veneer.
Yeah, so the interesting thing, like from that one, it seemed like it was much more commercial and much more, you know, salesy. I think we were talking about it, Johnny, that like even the people there from the companies were like all the salespeople, so they weren't necessarily the technical people or, you know, even the marketing people or anything like that. So it was
and they
like,
were like infomercials.
What can I do to put you in this rain gutter system today?
Got a free DVD
on that bandsaw. Yes.
This 60-minute DVD, it's yours free. I'm throwing that in. It's like, oh, thanks, man.
DVD, right? You're like, where am I going to play this? Yeah. Why don't you just put this on YouTube?
What year is
it's like, no, they're still handing out VHS instructions.
Yeah, I got Betamax in the car. But so what was funny was that, you know, so just as far as so folks who haven't been is that, you know, to me, and I think James, you were kind of hitting on it, is that it's all about the people, right? Oh, yeah. So for me, like, I don't even, I didn't even make it around all the booths. Like, the main booth that was the, what was it, the sawblades.com where Izzy had, you know, set up, and there was a ton of YouTubers and creators over there. And then on the other side of the showroom was the Southern Woodworkers and Zach Manring and Chris Philworth, were doing their thing over there. And Zach had his teardrop trailer. And it was kind of like in between those two areas where, where everybody spent their time, and it was just kind of hanging out and talking shop and talking business, and it was awesome.
The currency of the show is stickers.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's really strange. It's like
I hung up 45 of them yesterday.
Yeah, I could barely fit them all in my pocket. It's a weird thing. It's like we've just all become like obsessed with stickers.
They're like woodworking baseball cards. Yeah. The woodworking Pokemon cards. Yeah. What do you have?
Gotta collect them all.
I could be totally wrong, but I remember somebody telling me that, like, in Japan, like, when you meet somebody, it's customary to, like, shake their hand and give them your business card.
Oh, yeah, with both hands.
And then you have to look at it. Yeah, you look at it with both your hands. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, but it's kind of how it works like that with stickers woodworking events. But it's funny because, like, I've heard people talk about the vastly different demographics of people who attend woodworking shows, and it is so obvious. Like, you know for a second who the people that watch YouTube are.
Oh, yeah.
And who the people who still use America Online occasionally are.
And there also happened to be a fashion show in the same, Cobb Galleria. And, man, that was funny. When we all converged at lunch, and it's like, oh, that's a fashion version. Oh, that's a woodworker. Like, he's got a fishing vest and a white beard. That's definitely a woodworker. So, that was... That was quite funny.
Yeah, and I think I got it figured out. You need cargo shorts, like jean cargo shorts, and like a you need a button up shirt that's tucked in to jean bottoms, and then white tennis shoes.
Yes.
some sort of outdoors company hat.
Bonus points if you get like that, you know, like the braided satin rope across the, you know, in between the bill and the hat.
Yeah. Or the glasses with the lanyard. You need to have those.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. It's just like it's really interesting how.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were.
I guess it really is a function over form.
Yeah, woodworkers have their style. That's for sure. Well, and you know, it was cool because you could see how many more young people were there just because of the YouTube presence and that kind of thing. I mean, it was a huge age difference versus I think the average attendee, and that's pretty cool because I mean realistically woodworking, I mean it would have probably gone the way of the dinosaurs in 20 years had there not been some sort of resurgence among young people. And like I just love, like I got a comment yesterday from 15-year-old watching my videos. It's like, that's so cool. Yeah. Like, I wish at 15 I had been watching freaking high-end, like, furniture building videos, you know? Like, that would have...
Jeez, someday we're going to be their old woodworker.
Yeah, we're like, get off my lawn, you know? I remember when YouTube was a cool thing.
All I have is PBS.
Yeah. Now it's all Snapchat. Yeah, it's... yeah, our day will come, but right now we're the hip kids, for sure.
it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. Meeting and putting faces with names, and some of our podcast listeners even showed up. I'm sure I won't remember all of their names, but Brad Heath, Brad Heath, Guy from Guy's Woodshop.
Oh yeah, Guy's super cool. There. Yep,
he's a cool dude. Kevin Miller,
and Guy's a listener too, so that's awesome.
Yeah, as is Kevin. I can't. Yeah, and how many times I heard. Keller at that show was mind numbing. I was bombarded.
Dude, Keller.
Yeah, I know you guys.
What is
that?
Is that the best when it's like the original, like, hey, the Keller theory, and you're like, that's the 17th time I heard that today.
Yeah. Good one.
Yeah.
You got me.
Yeah, that was good times. So then I guess we had the after show after that, or whatever we want to call that, the get together. I guess we started at the Jocks and Jills, the sports bar that was attached there, and then headed over to the Sheraton. That's where things really got fun, I think. You know, that was everybody kind of let loose, and it was cool. It was cool to, you know, see Jimmy again, and just, you know, always fun to be around him, and Bill Lutz and Andy Berkey and all these dudes. I mean, it was just, you know,
David Welder.
Izzy Swan, David Welder, Fetty from, you know, Redneck DIY. I'm a big fan of his stuff. I mean, it was cool just chatting with these people that you watch day in and day out. And, you know, it's
Woodbrew.
Yep.
Woodbrew. Dylan's, I don't know if they made it over to the lobby, but they were at Jock and Jill's.
I think they were
there. Got carted at the door.
Yeah, that's the problem. Oh. They're literally 20. So, like, that has to suck, realistically. Like, I know I talked to Dylan.
I'd do it again. If I could, like, hit a button and be 20 again, I'd take it.
Well, like, he can't even get hotel rooms. Like we always talk about, like, he, you know, like, if the manager's being a jerk, like, he can't even check into a room. So, it's... That's a struggle. And it's like he's running his own business, him and Molly. Like, they're killing it. They do a really good job. So that's
I saw a video of his shop on his live feed today, and I must have the world's crappiest wood shop. I should change my YouTube channel to Crappy Wood Shop.
Crappy Wood Shop. That would go over well.
That was
already taken,
well.
I'm sure.
Yeah, then you wouldn't get those comments like, man, if I had those tools. Like, man, your shop's making me feel better. Yeah.
If I had a workshop that crappy.
But I think the cool part about it was, like, like you say, there's like a lot of the big names, but I think the interesting thing is, like anything, right, in YouTube or any of the social media, like, there's always people above you, and there's those folks that we all kind of look up to and have been watching forever, and they're the big names, the big channels. But then, like, when somebody else comes up to you and is like, hey, man, I've been watching your videos. And you're like, hey, yeah, cool, man. And so it's like kind of having people be like, hey, man, can we get a selfie? And I'm like, yeah. Like,
that was crazy. I never thought in my life.
It's really cool to be able to interact with the folks who are consuming your content and just getting to know them. Because I think that's part of, you know, that's part of the thing for me for sure. Like, right, I'm all about just inspiring folks to build and get into it. And when you have people come in, they're like, oh, dude, I built your flip top, man. I love it. And I'm like, that is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very inspiring. I think it's funny because those people who come up and say they're inspired by us is also incredibly inspiring to us. You know what I mean? Like that
for sure
gives me so much motivation to keep doing what I'm doing. And I love those kind of comments and that kind of thing because, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, we want to help people be able to, you know, do things with their hands and really just,
I feel like this is the first like job I've ever had where I'm actually doing something positive for the world.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like that sounds grandiose. I'm not trying to say like I'm doing big things for the world, but I feel like I have a net positive for the first time. Yeah. Like I'm not making the world a worse place by like, doing stuff.
Well, I used to sell tobacco. So, you know, try to beat that.
At least you're giving people what they wanted, but I was just laughing. So I'm like a desk jockey is my day job. Right. So I do this all part time. And I'm just like completely laughing, just thinking of somebody coming up and being like, I love what you do. That spreadsheet you made like rocked my world.
Just inspired me, Brad. Inspiring.
Dude, can I get a selfie? Can we get the selfie? Can you get the spreadsheet in the background? Like, because that V lookup you did, like,
I'm totally putting this in the company newsletter, man.
Yes, it's hilarious. A different type of rewarding doing the side gig.
definitely, man. That's funny.
I can tell you, I've never been so excited to get a phone number since I'm married now. So, I got Jimmy Duresta's phone number, and I felt like a junior high girl.
You've arrived.
It was like one of the happiest moments.
That's awesome. Well, then I guess we had Sunday, which was mostly a travel day for us, but then we had our meetup, which was really fun, very low attended, but William Blasco, big shout out to you, man. Thank you for coming out. We had a great time. Asheville Hardware, thanks so much for hosting us. Really, my biggest thing, I wanted
sweet place.
Yeah, I just wanted to show you two Asheville Hardware, and I knew we weren't going to have time Monday. So that place, if any of you guys are anywhere in the area, I think they have some of the best prices on slabs that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think James and Zach can back me up on that. And great customer service, just super nice guys. Dan, the manager there, was a super great host, and we had a really fun time. So,
spent far more than I should have, but came away with far more than I ever expected.
Have you tried the Fro yet? I was really interested to see.
No, I haven't had a chance to play with that yet, but it's on my list. There will be a video coming soon.
Yeah, that thing was amazing.
I should find a log for it.
I have absolutely no use for that, but I wanted one. it was one
those
of those
axes,
things.
Like oh, any man. Of them.
Yeah.
They're just
incredible. It's this Swedish brand. I can never remember it's like some weird Swedish name, but they're like, you know, if you guys are at all into hatchets or anything like that, I'm sure you've heard of them, but Asheville Hardware sells all their stuff. I didn't even realize they made like Froze and Adzes and all that kind of stuff. So that was cool. Man, that was impressive stuff.
I couldn't believe the slabs, and especially like obviously since I'm in Florida, we don't really get the best selection. Like they have like two or three, pretty much two levels, and they're just full of slabs and crazy slabs. Like when's the last time you've seen a zebra wood slab?
Yeah,
or nice. You know, like stuff that you don't see in slabs.
Real
wild really stuff.
Like literally curly maple slabs, like huge crotch slabs that you could make like a king size bed out of. Like they have some enormous, enormous stuff. Like just really, really cool. And like interesting, like Osage Orange and stuff that you just don't see very much. So anyway, Asheville Hardware, super fun. And then Monday we worked all day and, did our coffee table and super happy with the way that turned out. It was awesome to have some company in the shop, and
that was a fantastic day.
It really was.
Just
great.
How are you guys gonna gonna do the video for that? Like, are you guys, because I saw you guys working on the Instagram. Yeah. I loved the story and a story and a story inception.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
The meta story. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we're going to do a three-parter. So I did like the top and like, you know, the waterfall leg, and then James did the dovetail drawer and then the sliding dovetail kind of drawer mounting. And then Zach did an awesome two forged handles, and then a welded leg. And so there are three very unique portions of one build. And so I think we're all going to do our own part on our own channels and then make playlists out of them so people can watch through the whole process. And
it was really cool. And we had a great time in there, and Johnny's shop's big enough to where it wasn't really, we weren't ever really in each other's way.
It was amazing. But, like, I don't even think we like crossed over each other's cameras. No, like,
we were never
like
in each other's way.
It was nuts.
If we lived in the same city, we would certainly like open up a business, because we knocked out this table in one day.
Killed it.
Yeah, 7 hours of work and it's done.
And I mean, it's going to be pretty awesome. Yeah. Or it is pretty awesome. Yeah.
But we're gonna be putting it up for auction and giving a bunch of it to charity. So
yeah,
look forward to that.
Yeah, so that video, nice. If you're listening in the feed, it will be out next week. So look for that on all three of our channels, and the eBay thing will be up there as well. So it should be relatively shippable. I mean, it's only like 48 inches long and like, I don't know, like 16 inches tall and 13 inches wide. So it's not huge. So unfortunately, the waterfall leg is kind of permanent, so definitely going to have to box it up with that intact. But, I'm incredibly happy with the way it turned out. I think all three of our parts just came together.
Yeah.
So cool. Those handles, man, those handles turned out really nice. So
thanks. Yeah, it was just really neat. Like, I wish that I could have had more time to watch you guys do your thing.
Same. I feel like I was so, like involved with my own stuff that, you know.
But like watching James do the little bit that I saw was crazy.
Totally.
I mean, that guy's an animal in the shop. Like,
yes. Up on my bench, like kneeling on a piece of plywood to rip it. I'm like, dude, you're insane. There's a freaking table saw like 10 feet from here. Let's.
When I was looking at it when it was finished, I'm like, I never would have even thought of doing this way. Yeah. Like, even if somebody said like, okay, we want a drawer that's floating on this thing and everything is wood, I would have gone about it so differently.
Same.
Like it's just so cool and unique. Like, there's a dovetail that's just hanging out of the top of the slab. And it was all done with hand tools. It's nuts. It's just, I don't know, but it was neat to see three people that are so different in what they do come together in a project and have it actually work. I mean, it's not Johnny Cash's Cadillac. Was it a Cadillac in that song? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
No.
No? One piece at a time?
Oh, that's funny.
No? All right. Never mind.
Too
it's a good
scary.
Song. Listen to it.
I mean, yeah. It's I hilarious. Listen to a lot of John Cash. So that's funny.
One piece at a time? All right.
I like another one. Well, I think that probably sums up the weekend. I think we got a few Q&As that we need to.
It was good.
It was very good. So if you guys missed it this year, highly encourage you. I mean, there were people here from like Europe. Like, there were like more than
like
one
Scott
person.
Sweden?
Yeah, Sweden, yeah. UK. I mean, it was nuts. Like, people came.
Jocko was there.
Yeah. Two dudes from the UK, actually, Jamie and then the NZ Woodturner guy. So, yeah, it was. It was a really good time. So next year, definitely make it out. Or Oklahoma. I think some of us are going to Oklahoma this summer. That's June 23rd, 24th, the Video Woodworkers thing. So I'm like 99% sure I'm going to that. So, that'll be a good time too. So we've got a couple Q&As. We've got a super long one from Cody. I guess, Zach, you want to read this?
Yeah.
You got it up.
Matthew Bunton in the live chat knows what I'm talking about.
Nice.
With the Johnny Cash song.
Validation.
Yeah, I feel good.
And the Swedish axe brand is Gransfors Bruks. Thank you, Matthew Bunton, for that. If you're looking for any sort of like hatchets and, I mean, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They were crazy sharp too, like from the factory, like shaving sharp. So that was cool.
All right, message from Cody Side. I think I was supposed to answer this last podcast, but somehow it
Cody might have already built the workbench, but we'll answer it.
It's a big one, and I should have paraphrased it. But here we go. Hey, Zach, thanks again for the giveaway. Oh, wait a minute. Do I need to read this part?
You can probably skip the first paragraph.
Yeah, skip that. All right. My question is, I am building a Rubeau-Nicholson combo bench for hand tool use, very similar to yours with the Rubeau twist. The legs are 3.5 inches by 3 inches through tenons exposing themselves on the top surface. Sounds dirty. Was planning on having 1.5 inch board running between that and the apron, but I also have a tail vise. I'm installing in the closest to the edge I can run the dog holes is around 6 inches after the width of the apron and all is put together. Will this be a problem with planing? Should I run two rows of dog holes parallel to each other and just have the tail vise dog holding 1/2 of the board and 2 dogs in front so I can squeeze it to the edges? Please help. I can't process things while I read them.
Yeah, so I think what he's saying is the closest he can mount, or the closest he can have the dog holes to the front of the bench is 6 inches. So he's wondering, you know, most people have them a lot closer than that. So I think he's wondering if that's going to be an issue. James, I think you're, I mean, both of you guys way, obviously, more experienced than me for that.
So. I just need to understand the question. But
I was
too busy
holes.
Trying to read it.
My dog holes are about 6 inches away from the front of the bench. And yes, there are times when I would like to have them closer, but that is a very, very rare thing that I need to work that close to the edge. And in those rare cases, what I end up doing is actually putting down a strip of double-sided tape and just adhering it to the right to the edge. And that works just perfectly.
Nice.
So would I change it? No. Actually, the next bench that I am going to be building, I'm going to be leaving the dog holes right where they're at, about 6 inches back. So, not a problem.
Good to know. I wish I would have asked you that like yesterday.
Now, like if I were making a wagon vise like yours, yeah. I would probably like them to be about, you know, 3 inches away from the edge.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of planning. Probably 3.5. But, so,
yeah, it won't cause that much of a difference.
Cool. Well, hopefully that answers your question, Cody. So we got another one from Johan in the Netherlands. So Johan, thanks for tuning in. He asks, how many coats does Wipe One Poly usually take, and is it pretty good against water? So, I mean, I think 3 probably minimum. Depends how thin it is. Depends which brand of Wipe On Poly. What do you guys think? I mean, it's definitely good against water. That's the nice thing about polyurethane is it's a film finish.
I think the interesting thing about the poly is like it's always that, you know, when you first put it on, the first few coats, especially the wiping poly, right, is that when you do it, it looks like crap and you're like, why is this not building? And then all of a sudden, you know, it starts building around the third or fourth coat. So for me, I'm usually 5 or 6. You know, especially if I'm trying to get a good finish. But sometimes I'll go 2 or 3 because I don't want the gloss and I just want a little bit of that protection. So it depends. Like you kind of got to commit around 3 or 4 because around 3 or 4, you'll start getting, you know, the depending upon the sapwood or the heartwood, whichever one's harder there, it will start getting the sheen on that. And so then it kind of gets stripey, right? Until you build up on everything.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Cool. Yeah, I think that answers that pretty well. So Evan Dunville, live chat, also asks, so as we all have businesses, what would have to change for you to consider hiring a helper? So, yeah.
Money.
Yeah, money. That's I'd hire a helper in a heartbeat. I'd love to have, you know, mainly somebody run the camera.
Cameraman.
Yeah. Yeah, I really, really want to incorporate that kind of live feel to the videos. You know, having a tripod is a lot different than having an actual human being running a camera. So you get a lot more exciting shots and that kind of stuff. So what about you guys?
Yeah, I think the thing for me, like for me, it would just be return on investment, right? So if I can do it, have it done for less than what my time is worth to me. But that being said, I've kind of got the Superman syndrome, right? So I like to do everything myself. And I, you know, I have a hard time handing over even the menial stuff like, hey, why don't you develop my Pinterest pins and put those up there? Cause I, you know, that is just a mind numbing thing. But at the same time, it's like, I guess there's probably ways to do it as well. Like that you can, I know there are some ways to give folks admin rights, but I probably just haven't looked at it, but like just handing over, like I would never ever hand over my like Instagram account password to somebody and be like, here you go. Yeah. Yeah. Just go ahead and post for me. Like, yeah. I have control problems. So, yeah. So for me, it's more of a control thing because, should I be doing things like, you know, like I said, like doing Pinterest pins or setting up posts on social media, things like that, even writing an instructable, right? Somebody could very easily write an instructable based upon something you gave them and just drop everything in there that just kind of takes, you know, whatever, a half hour. But it's just letting go of that. And really it's all about trust, right? So getting somebody that you trust. And I know I've heard the guys, like I know, Bob and David, like both of the folks that they work with, like David's camera guy is like one of his good friends from yeah. Dave Picciuto. And then Bob's editor is like one of his good friends. So it's yeah. like, yeah, if I had somebody that was really good at yeah. doing something like that, like if I had a friend that I just completely trusted and he was great at editing, sure, I would probably be way more comfortable doing that.
Yeah, I've got several friends who I would trust instantly with the camera and the editing and that sort of thing. But there's just no way I could make it worth their time and how much I actually have to give them. I'd make it worth my time first before I can bring on someone else.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, how do you justify? Cause I mean, if you're going to pay somebody what they deserve to be paid, I mean, a day of work running a camera, that's at least like probably $300, you know? So how do you, especially with that,
I feel
kind
like
of thing,
I don't even pay myself what I deserve to be paid.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, you don't, like, let alone somebody money. Else.
Yeah. Well, not. There's no direct ROI on like slightly better camera work. You know what I mean? Like, they're
right.
That's not, yeah, your videos might feel like they have better production value, but I've heard many times that production value is one of the least important aspects of what we do. You know, like, I mean,
you've seen my channel, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, dude, look at Jimmy's stuff. He shoots it on like the most simple camera ever, you know, like half his shots are GoPros, you know, which is like a $300 camera. So, that's, you know, and he doesn't have a cameraman, and he has more subscribers than I think I'll ever have in my life. So, you know, I don't think those things are necessities. So I don't know how you, you know, justify those. I mean, the editing stuff where it's direct, you know, I'm not doing this, so I have more time to do this. That I can very much understand. But, you know, like what Brad was saying, I am such a control freak. I would have a really hard time letting go of the reins of any of that stuff. Even just like when you guys were in my shop, like me going up to, like, you know, pee or something, I was like nervous. Like, I was like, oh, they're going to break something, you know, something's going to go wrong, you know? And like, obviously you guys know
you
what
haven't
you're
found
doing.
It yet.
Yeah, I have no problem with that, but I have all three of my kids in the shop.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're going to be more problem than anyone I'd ever bring in.
Yeah. And I think I'm so used to being alone in the shop that, having outside, you know, guests is, that was new to me, but, yeah.
See, I think for me, cause I feel like I talked about this in one of the recent podcast episodes where it's like, even like sanding is kind of like a meditative process. And yes, a lot of the times I get my ideas when I'm doing that sort of stuff. So, listen to one of those, was it the last podcast?
Yeah, it was.
That's my thoughts on that. Anyway, to paraphrase, a lot of my ideas come when I'm doing that work that would be easy to pawn off on, you know, somebody else. However, I was thinking lately, because I have a lot of people that are putting in orders for like the blacksmith roses and like flags and stuff that's pretty straightforward builds. So, I mean, if, you know, which is fun to do and I like doing it, but if it ever gets to the point, which it's looking like it's a possibility, where I have so many of these kind of trinkets and like the smaller items that I batch out. If I ever get to the point where that is starting to take away from my big projects, you know, the stuff where I actually get to design a table or a chair or a desk or do a bar or something like that, then I think that would be the time for me when I'm like, okay, I could bring somebody on board and, you know, pay them a flat rate per item made or whatever, just to help me keep up with those sort of orders. The stuff that's I guess not produced, but produced.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, once we get into that kind of production workflow, if we get into that kind of workflow where, you know, we have like almost like a catalog of pieces, it definitely makes sense at that point. You know what I mean? Like, because you're not going to have like a design inspiration halfway through making a dining table you've made 50 times, you know? So that's when it much more, I think, makes sense. So, I think that hopefully that answers your question, Evan. Cool. I think we got no joke of the week this week. So,
what?
Sorry, y'all. Taking a week off. We might have one somewhere buried, but I haven't gotten to it. So that'll be next week. So let's move into what we've been watching. So
I really quickly, how PG do the jokes have to be? Because I still remember on the first episode there was one that I looked up. That
I do have one. I do have one.
Good.
My father-in-law. yeah, what was it? Okay.
That's a good one.
What do you get when you resaw? Resaw dust.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty clever.
Okay.
Because we taught him what resawing was, and that was pretty funny. Oh, yeah. So there we go. Because James taught us why sawdust is called sawdust. So that was kind of interesting. So, because the only hand tool.
You're going to have to explain that now because people are going to be curious.
Well, yeah.
The reason why sawdust is called sawdust, when every tool in the shop makes sawdust, I mean, why does the router make sawdust and the sander makes sawdust? Why do all the tools make sawdust? Why is it called sawdust? And the reason being is it used to be that the only tool that made sawdust was a saw. Everything else made chips or curls.
Yeah. So that's an interesting bar trivia for you there. So so let's talk about what we've been watching. Who wants to, Brad, I see you got one here. What you want to plug that?
Yeah, I've driving back from Atlanta and on the way down, actually, I found myself like slowing down because so instead of watching the S-Town podcast that's from This American Life, they did Serial. And
nice.
They had a new podcast out. It's called S-Town, and they released them all at the same time. So it was 7 episodes.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, nice.
And they're only an hour long, right? So coming down, I got through... I don't know. I think I got through 4 episodes and I was literally like, I was like slowing down. I was like, you know, taking extra long time at the gas station. I was, it is really, really good. This American Life does, you know, in the NPR team, they do an amazing job. And if you haven't read, you know, if you haven't heard about it or anything, it's basically, it starts off one way, but it's kind of investigating a murder, but it kind of completely goes in a different direction once you start listening to it. So it's not a murder mystery type thing. So if you're not into that, it's really cool. And it's based in Alabama. But the guy that it's all based around is a very, very interesting dude. And I can't really say much more about it because it's like,
yes, no
complete
spoilers.
Spoiler, but anyway, that's an excellent, excellent podcast.
Yeah. Those are like 2 all-star podcast, like Serial. If you have not heard it, it's amazing. And This American Life is obviously, I would say probably one of the greatest podcasts of all time. I think they really started this whole like amazing production value podcast thing. I mean, they're, you know, tons and tons of episodes in, and pretty much if NPR puts it out, it's a good podcast. I think you can pretty much say that across the board. So, that's on my list to listen. I just haven't gotten to it yet. Cause I know like once I start listening, I'm going to be completely addicted to it. Like it was the same way with Serial. Like my wife and I were driving to Knoxville when we first started listening to that. And it was like, that's only a 2-hour drive. So we're like literally sitting at a gas station for like 20 minutes, like before we even start driving again. Cause like, it's just so good. So yeah. Awesome. James, how about you? What you got?
I was actually just watched Trust and Timber, another YouTube channel, and he just made this side table that was really, really cool. And he basically just did it with like timber framing style, more or less to practice his timber framing for a larger project. But a phenomenal video, really cool design. Just I was overly pleased. I really like that that design, that large beam aesthetic. It was a fantastic video, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah, I need to check that one. I know I'm subscribed to him, but I don't think I've gotten to it in my feed yet. So
I think it just came out today. So
cool. Yeah, another one
Am I the only one that, like, whenever I see or hear his name, all I can think of is Justin Timberlake?
I'm like, I'm the same way.
It is very, very
They're
close.
Like, yeah, that new jam by Trustin Timber.
That is an amazing name for a woodworker, though. Like your last that name is Timber. I mean, like...
And Trustin Timber. Yeah, like, yes, that is fantastic.
Like almost too good to be true, so...
Yeah, that's probably just a pseudonym. Yeah, he's like, it's a pen name.
Yeah. So another one that popped up in my feed that I wish popped up more frequently was Bearcat Wood, Brian. You guys might know of him.
Yeah.
He makes amazing or made amazing saws, but he just came out with this cafe chair video, and that dude just never ceases to amaze me with his skills. I mean, that chair, while it looks very simple, had so much interesting things like elements to the build. I mean, the Maloof joints and the carving the seat with, hand tools versus, a turbo plane on an angle grinder, that kind of thing. It was a really cool video, and his production quality is just, getting really, really good. So definitely check
I haven't seen the video yet, but I've been following the pictures of that chair, and I think that chair is like the definition of tasteful. It's so... It's reserved and it's just a great looking,
dead sexy,
refined.
It will never go out of style. Yeah. That's the thing. Like it's simple enough in its design elements that it would fit in most decors. And I'd love to have half a dozen of them around my dining table for sure. Because man, that's a really, really nice looking table. So. I'll have that in the show notes for sure. Brian does a great job. And he always incorporates techniques that, like, are on my list but intimidate the crap out of me, like bent lamination and the Maloof joint. And I mean, everything's curved. Everything's, shaped with a spoke shave. I mean, it's just really, really nice stuff. So definitely check him out. What about you, Zach?
I have been, like, watching a whole bunch of Instagram stories. I know it's kind of a lame answer, but
now that you know what they are,
now that I know, like the other day we were at Asheville Hardware, and these guys were like taking live videos. I'm like, what are you guys doing? And I think James, the hand tool woodworker over there, showed me how to use technology. And so I've been like, I went on like a live stream binge for a day, and I spent most of the day in a car, and I'm looking forward to getting back into it. But I've been watching just some of the live stories. It's kind of fun. I really like it because it's just a different perspective. It's kind of – the stuff is usually kind of dumb and wacky and fun, and you kind of get to see the people on a more personal – get to know the people on a more personal basis than their typical Instagram posts. So. I'm trying to grow my Instagram, by the way. So if you guys don't have me, it's ZH Fabrications.
I just subbed to you, Zach. I realized I was not following you. So there, you're now at 1,078.
Nice.
Yes. Getting there.
Yeah.
Almost.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I guess let's talk about our favorite tools of the week. Brad, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so mine's gonna be a big shocker. The parallel clamp. I figure since I made the that parallel clamp rack, and like I said, I had 36 of those bad boys on there, and so yeah. just and I don't have nearly that much, but I do have a nice set of parallel clamps that are all the Jet ones, which I prefer over the Bessie ones, just because of that trigger on them, and just that clamp is just so much nicer because I've had some other aluminum bar clamps. And like just the pure clamping head on that, right? The ability just really put the pressure where you need it and not have to worry about, it's not going to, if you have a bunch of boards, it's not going to give the smiley face as much. It's not going to make them bow when you clamp on it. I'm going to go with parallel clamps because that's about the only thing I use in the shop anymore, as long as I've got the right size.
Yeah, they're amazingly powerful. I mean, if you guys have never used in any of the parallel clamps, whether it's Bessie or Jet, you do not have to like really torque down on them to get an immense amount of clamping pressure. I mean, it was funny. I was watching back the video from our bench build, and the middle of the slab actually bowed inwards because there was so much pressure from the clamp, like on, from either end, like that. It was so strong that it was literally bowing in an inch and a half thick slab, which was just crazy. So yeah, those things, they put out a lot of power, and, it makes for pretty easy gap-free glue-ups, because I've done a lot of stupidly difficult glue-ups in the past couple weeks between those maple tables and the Roubaix, and I'm always amazed. It's like, you know, super nervous about gaps, and then you end up with no gaps, and it's just, those things are sweet. So, what about you, Zach?
The 3M Super 77 spray adhesive is my choice of the week.
Yes.
That stuff's awesome. I use it. I'm going through, so for my website and stuff, I'm going through all my old, my very early YouTube channels, and it's kind of interesting to see like what I did before I had any tools, and just, I feel like I was more creative. I mean, the videos weren't near as cool or as fun, but like when you're limited, you really have to improvise, and I need to incorporate some of those techniques again, because it's, you know, they're kind of neat, but you can use the 3M spray adhesive stuff for any spray adhesive, really, for all sorts of stuff. I remember the other day, like for sandpaper, when I was in Johnny's workshop, I'm sure everybody knows this, but I've never had any luck like folding sandpaper and like the tri-fold or however, you know, however you do it, I just feel like it never works for more than a minute. So you just blast the back of sandpaper and fold it over on itself. Like it, give it 10 seconds and it'll never come undone. Like it's, I feel like I seriously work every last grain of sandpaper. Like I get every little last bit out of it. So, but also for template work and stuff, you know, just, you know, sticking paper to something and cutting it out. Or even if you're doing, trying to cut out two identical pieces on the bandsaw or something like that, you can stick them together and still, you know, use one of the little metal scrapers, like the, you know, I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Kind of like putty knives or whatever. But you can usually pull stuff apart pretty easy if you use the spray adhesive. You can just stick it in between there and pop it off after you cut out your shapes. So,
yeah. Definitely.
Anyway, that's my choice.
Yeah, spray adhesive is super useful. One tip that I didn't know for a while, if you're doing like a spray on paper template, if you spray adhesive on both surfaces, the paper and the wood, and let them dry for like a couple minutes and then stick them together, they come apart a lot easier than if you put them together when they're like wet. Because I guess, you know, when they're wet, it's designed to stay together like permanently. Whereas if you let them dry, you can usually just peel it off really, really easily. So that's one thing I've noticed, at least with, I guess I use the Elmer's one, whatever that is, because that's just what I have. But
sure, it's all pretty similar.
I would imagine so. So,
but and if your tip gets clogged, acetone is
nice.
Usually does the trick.
Cool. Well, mine is the DeWalt, I guess, DWP 611 compact router. It's their little trim router. I've been using a rigid one, which is fine, but this DeWalt one has a plunge base, which also has dust collection, which is amazing. I it's funny, you know, that little router, you know, I have the huge, like, 3-horsepower DeWalt one, but it's a plunge router. But the plunge mechanism is kind of sticky. Like, it's one of those ones where you plunge it down, and then you want to let it up, and you kind of have to shake it a little bit to get it to, like, go back up. You know, it kind of sticks at the bottom. But the plunge base on this compact one is just really smooth, and it's surprisingly powerful for a little handheld trim router, and having dust collection built in is just pretty awesome. It doesn't work that well. I mean, routers and dust collection is just like the bane of my existence, because like my shop floor, it looks like a barn. Like, there's so many pine shavings on the ground from the routing work, it's ridiculous. So I still have yet to figure. I mean, I think Festool would probably be the way to go. But
Try blasting your the sliders on the plunge mechanism with like some sort of lube?
No, I should probably do that. But it was like that, literally out of the box. Like, it's never smooth.
My big plunge router was like that, and it I can't remember what I sprayed on it, but it made a significant improvement. So
would be worth a shot, because I mean, it's way the bigger one is definitely way more powerful. I was impressed with this little router, so that gets my shout out for the week. What about you, James?
I'm going to shoot for the Stanley 55. This weekend when I was at Johnny's place, I brought my Stanley 45, thinking I brought my 55. because I had the 55 set up with the cutters I wanted, and I didn't have it for the build we were there for, and I was stuck having to use this router table, which ended up taking far longer than it needed to. And it's just a fantastic tool for making any groove and things like that. Yeah, and they are just phenomenal for the shop. Anytime you want to make any sort of handmade groove or pattern or design or tongue, I'm always reaching for mine.
So what is it, James? The 55 for us, that are not in the
we don't know the nomenclature
connoisseur.
It is known as the king of hand planes.
It's still not helping me.
Traditionally, it would have 55 cutters.
Oh, that
it.
One.
Google. I'm googling it. That's helping me vastly.
It's kind of like a router plane, like a plow plane. Okay.
But it also does a lot of other things. It does, patterns and moldings and shapings. And so it's like a molding plane and a grooving plane and a dado plane. And
gotcha. So a thin body, a thin sole.
Well, yeah, it has, the sole is two skates, and you can put them closer and farther apart. Yeah. So you can actually adjust the width of it, and you can move one of them in and out so that you can have one going down farther for moldings. If you ever see one at a garage sale or antique sale, snap it up. An original one in a box with full cutters is like, $500-$600 right now.
Wow.
I just Googled it and I can see.
It's like the old school router, basically. I mean, it can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, cool. Nice. Yeah, definitely give that a Google if you don't know what it is, because it's a pretty sweet looking. I watching James use it this weekend was pretty fun.
Yeah. So, James, just for your information, SEO is working for you. I typed in Stanley 55 and I saw this thumbnail about four rows down on the images search.
There
it says Stanley 45 versus Stanley 55.
Yes.
It's a YouTube video by Wood by Wright.
Nice. And I have another one, a closer look at the Stanley 55 and what it can really do. So you're nailing it, man. You're killing the Stanley 55 Google searches. So
not many people out there are doing YouTube videos on those, though.
Yeah.
Competition is really nice.
Yeah. that is a niche right there. No, that's a cool looking plane for sure. So cool. Well, I guess that's going to do it for this week. Thank you, Brad, for being on. I guess you want to plug your new show. I don't know if you're ready yet. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, we'll just do it now, and that way it'll commit us, right? So, So you mentioned John Malecki. John Malecki's a buddy of mine. He actually went down to the show with me, and he runs a channel there, and he is a full-time builder. So, and then I'm kind of on the content side. So together we are going to be launching a podcast, which seems like the popular thing to do these days. but instead of being, which I love this format and just kind of shooting the bull about woodworking, but we're going to go more around business. So it's going to be all about business in woodworking and how to make profit. So the whole made for profit, right? So getting this, because that's probably the questions that we get the most are like, how did you get your social media established? How do you do this? How do you build a brand? How do you convert? How do you work with sponsors? All these things. And those were huge conversation topics at the Atlanta Woodworking Show as well. So I'm kind of excited to do that and kind of hit a different niche that not a lot of folks are really talking about right now. Or if they do talk about it, they kind of apologize and say, it's inside baseball. And it's like, well, we're going to have a whole show on it.
I'm really excited to hear it because I think, taking the plunge to be full time, whether that's content creation or just, building things is really difficult because there's not a lot of info out there. So
we're not even full time necessarily.
But
And so I'm part time, right? Exactly. And so that's going to be part of it, is that John's full time. I'm doing it all as a side gig. So So be on the lookout for it. It's going to be called the Made for Profit Podcast. But anyway, if you follow me, I'm at Fix This Build That. Just Google that, and I'll come up everywhere.
Yeah.
And John will also be plugging it.
Cool. Awesome. Well, we'll shout that out again when it's live, so you guys can go check it out. So, I think that'll do it. So, thanks again to everybody who has listened. This was an extra, extra long one, so I think we're going to actually skip the after show this week. I think an hour and 13 minutes was enough for you guys, hopefully. So, that was a lot of fun. Thank you, Brad, for being on. Thanks to everybody who came out to the Atlanta Woodworking Show. We had a great time there. So, I guess until next week.
Yeah. Happy building. Thanks to John John's family for
for sure.
Letting us all stay over everywhere.
Yes, thanks.
And just being cool people.
And my in-laws as well for letting us.
That was included.
Yeah, they're my whole family. So, yeah, guys, until next time, happy building.
See ya.
Take care.
See you guys.